Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
We're in Revelation chapter number 2. We're beginning a section that that there will be seven letters over the next two chapters to seven, I call them special churches. They're God's churches. They belong to Him. And I mentioned last week that many good Bible teachers and Bible scholars will break these seven churches down into seven different time periods of history. For example, we'll be looking at the church at Ephesus this morning. Many Bible scholars will say that represented the first century church up to about 100 AD. Then they'll get to Smyrna, the crown church, and they put it from 100 AD to about 250. And you get the idea, okay? And then Laodicea. Matter of fact, the church of Philadelphia, many of them put that in the era of William Carey, that great missionary and all. And then the Laodicean church, that last church, they put it in today's age. Well, I take it from another perspective that all these churches, these seven churches, existed at that time. They were real churches, local churches in that area of Asia. And these letters were sent to each individual church, and they were meant to be read, not just individually, but we'll find out they were supposed to pass them around to different churches. Now, as I get into our study, now just imagine when the church at Ephesus is reading what the church at Laodicea Jesus had said about the church at Laodicea and vice versa, and all these churches as they're exchanging letters that was written to them. Boy, don't you know that was an eye-opening experience for them. But I place these churches in that time period, and also believe that these seven churches are types of these churches. We see them even in today's world, in the 21st century. We see a picture of all these seven churches, a type of them, in every church that belongs to the Lord. For instance, let me give you a quick outline and we'll get to our lesson. Ephesus, we're going to look at this morning, is a careless church. They're a careless church. Smyrna is a crowned church. Pergamos is a compromising church. Thyatira is a corrupted church. Sardis is a carnal church. Philadelphia, a committed church, and Laodicea is a Christless church. And I suggest to you this morning that we can find every one of these seven types of churches around. I wouldn't dare pick them out, say, well, this church is this or this or this. You know, I'm just saying that we do see these type of churches in the 21st century. So as we look, as I begin, let me begin by way of introduction. Each of these seven letters is composed of four common parts. That's to all these seven letters. There's four things in particular that they all have in common. First, we find that it gives us the characteristic of Christ as He look, and we're going to see it in a little bit. The characteristic there that He gives to church at Ephesus. The second is a compliment from Christ. So there's a characteristic, then there's a compliment. And third is the criticism, if there is. There's two churches that did not receive any criticism. That's Smyrna and Philadelphia. We'll look at Smyrna next week. But for the most part, you see all of this. There's the characteristic of Christ, the compliment from Christ, the criticism from Christ. And then the fourth is the correction from Christ. He told them their problem, and He said, this is how you fix it, okay, in all the letters. Find that very interesting. As we begin our study, the word Ephesus literally means desirable. It was the largest and one of the wealthiest cities in all of Asia during that day. It was located on the coast, and it became a great seaport. And because of that seaport, it was a great place of commerce and a great place of trade. And you know what happens at seaports? You have the old saying, what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. Well, you can just imagine the seaports with the sailors coming in from sailing. that the debauchery and immorality that would take place there in this great city of Ephesus. And it was a city of great immorality. And it was dominated by the worship of a fertility goddess named Diana that they worshiped. And as you can imagine, what kind of worship went on in that temple, because she was a goddess of fertility. Anyway, it was a beautiful temple. Diana no longer exists, and some of you historians would recognize that. It was one of the seven wonders of the world, of the ancient world, that people had mentioned, that this great temple of Diana, located in Ephesus, was one of the great wonders of the ancient world, along with, I listed some of these, the Great Pyramids of Egypt. So they're in good company. When you think of the pyramids, everybody knows about the pyramids. And the Colossus of Rhodes, many of you know about that. The Lighthouse of Alexandria, the Statue of Zeus, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and all. So many of these, and these were the seven wonders of the world in the Temple of Diana there in Ephesus, which was, historians tell us, was a thing of beauty. You see it miles out from the sea, and it was a huge, huge temple that was dedicated to that goddess of Diana. Well, also, it was there in Ephesus that Paul established a church there. And we find that in Acts chapter 19. And I won't get into that, time won't allow. But so you'll reference it, Paul went to that great city of Ephesus. And he, most of Acts chapter 19 describes how the church was started there by the Apostle Paul, which I think is going to be very significant in our study this morning, that this great church was started by the Apostle Paul, and yet we see that he spent more time there at Ephesus, the Apostle Paul did, at that church, than in any other church that he started. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter number 20, he is leaving the elders there. They're at the coast, fixing to get on a ship. And we see in verse number, let me just begin in verse number 28. And he's telling them that to take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, and to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now remember, he's telling these elders at Ephesus, hey, when I leave, you need to hold the fort. Okay, and stick to the doctrines, because in verse number 29, for I know this, that after my departing, some grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And we're going to see that this happened 40 years later from this point to Revelation chapter number 2. When Paul left, 40 years later, John is writing them this letter to Ephesus, and Paul is warning them about false teachers. Also among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So Paul was there for 3 years at this great church at Ephesus, and he warned them as he was leaving them. Matter of fact, you read the rest of that chapter. It said that the elders wept and they hugged his neck sore, not just because of the words he spoke, but because they would not see his face anymore. They were afraid they never see him again. And he made a great impact on that church at Ephesus. Well, we also see that Aquila and Priscilla and Apollos served there. Why is that important? Well, because there are some great people that was at this church at Ephesus. You know about Aquila and Priscilla. Then Apollos came and they taught Apollos the more perfect way. And we see all that in Acts chapter 18. And then young Timothy pastored there. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy, Paul was encouraging Timothy, who was at Ephesus. He says this, "And I besought thee still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." He also tells Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth."
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word, and visit us online at westwoodmbc to hear more teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.